Greetings in Jesus' name this morning, and a welcome to everyone that is here. Trust we have been blessed already by being here this morning, and that we've come to hear the words of life, truth. I want to thank those of you that have prayed for the message, and trust that we've come together praying that God would show us His word this morning. I also want to ask an interest in your prayers as we continue to look into the message, that God would feed us here this morning. For the title of the message, I have chosen to speak on gifts of the church. Taken out of 1 Corinthians 12, I invite you to turn to that scripture if you'd like. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll read the first 14 verses here. As we think about gifts this morning, we're talking about gifts that are given to us that we can use in the church, and gifts that are ministered through the church. Sometimes we look at a person as a gifted or a talented person, and I think God gives us gifts. God gives us talents when we're born. Some people are talented in some areas more than some are in other areas. And I think the gifts that we're talking about this morning are the gifts and the talents that we use that God gives to us when we're born again. You know, we have some of these things in our life, but when we're born again, we give our heart to Christ. These gifts can be used for His glory and for the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now these are diversities. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Thinking here of spiritual gifts, the biblical meaning of gift here that it's talking about is gifts of God given to men, something given to us by something else, by someone else. Offerings to God such as sacrifice, especially spiritual gifts from God to believers. Just several definitions here. One of the largest is grace, God's gift to mankind. God gave us a gift of grace, and through that grace we can develop the gifts that He gives to us. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Excuse me, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we look at the meaning of spiritual. So we think of spiritual gifts. The word refers to things related to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, as opposed to the nature or physical world. There's a spiritual force out there that is fighting for our souls, and it's a war between good and evil. So there's two spirits, we would say, in the spiritual realm. And the spirit that we're talking about this morning is the Spirit of God. There's a Greek word that's pronounced pneuma, meaning spirit, wind, and breath. And as we think of the Spirit of God in each of us, as we receive God's Spirit, as we give our heart to God, His Spirit indwells within us. And this Spirit can't be something that we can touch or feel, but we can see the outworkings of it. And so this morning, the message isn't necessarily about spiritual warfare, but rather we're looking at God's Spirit in the body, in the church, how His Spirit works in each of the members and in each of His people to make up the body of Christ, to make up the church. John 3:8 brings this out. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we see the outworkings of the Spirit, and His Spirit works through the church, but we don't actually see God's physical Spirit within us. Just as the wind is seen and felt, so we can see the outworkings of God's Spirit. So as we're thinking of spiritual gifts this morning, we're thinking about gifts that are given to us by God, gifts that God imparts to each one of us as we are saved. We are grafted into His church, as it talks about in Romans 1. Paul says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12 here, He would not have us ignorant that we were once carried away with dumb idols, even as we were led, it says. We had our backs toward Christ. We were living in sin before we came to God. But as we came to God, it says in verse 3, he goes on to say there that no man can say from his heart that Jesus is Lord in his life unless it is from the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God never contradicts God. So if we have the Spirit of God in our heart, that Spirit will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He's stating here that there needs to be a heart change. We are no longer living for ourselves, but what is coming out of our life shows that the Spirit of God is in our heart. 1 John 4:2 says, everyone, or we could say every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It was a practice for the Jews back in the day when this was written. It was a practice for the ones that hated Jesus to call him anathema, the Greek word for meaning accursed. One that is so abominable that it would not be fit for him to live on the earth. And it was an earthly practice among the heathen persecutors of that day to force believers to call Jesus this name. When they would persecute Christians, they would ask them to call Jesus that name, which would basically say they were cursing him. That is not from the Spirit of God. But that's what it was talking here in verse 3. It alludes to that. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by one Spirit. So God's Spirit will not allow us to curse him. John 16:13-14, albeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of Christ reveals that to us, reveals God's word to us. So we could take from this that the Spirit of God is among each of us as we surrender our hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He works through each of us to make up what we call the church, the body of Christ. And I appreciate when we can sit together as brethren, we can discuss things of life and things that come up, and we can conclude a unified feeling and get a unified feeling built. It's a body of believers that we, as we sit together, God's Spirit works through us, and I just enjoy when a group of people can sit down and talk about spiritual things and there's different things that come out, but sometimes there's different views that I don't see, And it's interesting. Recently, we were sitting together as a family. We had a family gathering, and there was just different things that came up that, you know, some of the things that we discussed was why we don't use tobacco and alcohol. Just different things. There was gluttony came up. And, you know, today we have people question a lot of things. Just different things that we discussed. And it was just interesting to sit together and hear what other people had to say about it. And I think that's, as we think about church life, when we have Christ in our heart, we can discuss those things with each other, and God's Spirit ministers through each of us to minister. He ministers as a whole to the body. So we think of gifts, talents, abilities, contributions. These things all are gifts and abilities that we use to do God's work. In the parable of the property owner there in Matthew 25:15, he gave different amounts of money to invest to different people before he went on a journey. And then he went on his journey. And I think that's how God, he imparts different gifts to us today. And he expects us to take care of those things. Our gifts come from God. If we read these verses, verse 4 through 6 in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 6, 4, 5 and 6, says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And these are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all." We notice here that it's the same, it's the Spirit, it's Jesus, it's God working together. They're different gifts, but these verses all point back to one Spirit. We have spiritual gifts by the same Spirit. We have administrations by Jesus Christ, and verse 6 talks about operations by God, and they all three work together. This morning, as we think of gifts, your gift is unique, whatever it may be, and you are needed. In Romans 6 through 8, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And as we think of these gifts, there's three different categories that we'd like to look at this morning. First one is motivational gifts, and this is found in Romans 12, 6 through 8, these verses that we just read. Second, we have ministry gifts, or sometimes we call these office gifts. Three is manifestation gifts. The ministry gifts are found in Ephesians 4:11, and the manifestation is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10 and 28 through 30, some of the verses that we just read here. And each category highlights a unique expression of God's grace through believers. There are various ways to categorize them, but these three are kind of the three categories that we'd like to look at this morning and just briefly go over them. The first one, the motivational gifts, it speaks about in Romans 12, are gifts that flow out from us, from God, that qualifies us. And one of those is prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort." Prophecy, we bring courage to other people. Sometimes it requires exhortation. Sometimes it requires comfort. We have service, or we could say helps. We could say that sometimes these are the practical things in the church. There's many people that Sometimes we just have the practical outworkings, things that need to be done that people do. Galatians 5:19 talks about serving one another in love. And these practical outworkings, as we do these for each other, for the church, for the body of Christ, as we do them in love, I think we need to remember that it needs to be done in love. Teaching, or we could say exhortation. Some of us have the gift of being able to explain something in a way that becomes alive in people. Sometimes it's a little difficult for me to explain exactly what I feel. I might feel a certain way, but it's a little hard for me to get it out there. And I think that's some of us are gifted more in those areas than others. Encouraging. Encouraging. Some people are good with giving encouragement. And I have felt that different times. Some of you texted me yesterday and said, you're praying for me. That's encouragement. There's many others that we could name here this morning, but some of us are gifted in giving encouragement. And if God has given you that gift, use it. Bring motivation to others. Giving is one, or generosity, we might say. We've been richly blessed by many people here that have given to us in many different ways. Just yesterday, a brother had given us chicken that was butchered and just ready to put in the freezer. It's like, that was a blessing. Someone was generous and giving. Several weeks ago, some blackberries showed up in my truck. Just out of the blue. Small things. There's many other things we could mention, but I feel like we have a giving spirit here, and I want to encourage those that give. It's a gift that we have that we can use. Then we have the gift of leading or administration. Someone needs to organize or direct ministry efforts or lead out. And we have different areas of administration. As we think of people taking responsibility to lead in different areas of the church, whether it's home singing or leading out in a topic or a devotional or something like that, or whatever it is, it's we have different areas where we can lead in. Showing mercy, that's a gift. Showing mercy, hospital visits, compassion toward the hurting, demonstrating God's love through heartfelt care. Okay, then we have the ministry or gifts found in Ephesians 4:11-13. I'm just going to turn to those to that book and read those verses. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. This is an emphasis on certain roles or offices given to equip saints in the church, as we think of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. In my studies, I found apostles often were considered as the sent ones, or the ones that they were gifted with church planting. They were foundational leaders. They took oversight. In the early church, these were the eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection, found in Acts 1:21-22. We have prophets. These men were often viewed as having a distinct calling to speak divine encouragement or something corrective, a corrective message to the body of believers at times. Evangelists, they were called to spread the gospel. To spread the gospel message passionately, helping individuals discover salvation through Jesus Christ. Pastors, or we could say shepherds, These people were charged with guiding and protecting the spiritual well-being of a local congregation or the local church. And teachers, these were devoted to explain Scripture. They would expound on Scripture and make it clear, bringing clarity and helping others apply biblical principles. And I think we still have those among us today. Often we say that these were ordained ministry, or I believe, we usually refer to it as a ministry. God has a special structure for the church, but I believe these roles should never be intended to elevate individuals, but to serve the wider church by equipping every believer for ministry. Early Christian writers such as Clement in Rome in the first century referenced these offices to show continuity and structure in the early church. Then we have manifestation gifts, and those are the ones we read through here in 1 Corinthians 12. And some of these gifts, maybe we don't see quite as much today in our culture as where they would some places. But I think as we really take a deeper look, that we have them here among us. We have words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We could say this is insight into application of knowledge in specific situations. Or sometimes, you know, just for instance, when someone gets up to preach, if we prayed for that message, we feel like it's the word of God. And I think those are words of knowledge, words of wisdom that come from God. Not necessarily that it's the person that's saying them, but it's God giving them through that person. The gift of faith. Some people have a stronger faith than others. I wish sometimes my faith was stronger. But I believe that we can grow in that. Working of miracles. And maybe we don't see that quite so much in our day as far as working out miracles. And I think we need to be careful with some of that, some of those things. Some people, I think the main thing is that it doesn't bring glory to the person that's doing it. God wants to receive the glory for those things. Prophecy. And we went over that one already. Declaring God's message. Bringing edifying and edifying words of encouragement to others. And sometimes bringing correction to the body of Christ. Distinguishing between spirits. Do we have the ability? Some people have the ability to maybe pick out a false doctrine or something. I think God gives them that wisdom. I really think He does. In Acts 16:16 through 18, Paul charged the evil spirit there to come out of that girl that was the fortune teller that was bringing her master's money by fortune telling. Then we have the gift of healing. And here again, it's probably one that we don't necessarily see someone laying their hands on someone and healing them. But this happened back in the Bible. And I think today it can still happen. I think, and again here, it's the spirit that it's used in. Is it used in God's spirit? Is God working through us? And we need to be very careful. We don't take credit toward ourselves for things like that. Speaking in tongues and interpretation in tongues. I've never actually seen somebody actually be able to convert a language just like that without studying it. But I believe that it does happen sometimes. Developing the use of spiritual gifts. As we think of developing these gifts that God gives us, the gift that God gives to us, Spiritual gifts flourish in an environment of obedience, prayer, and fellowship. I think one of the things we need to remember in developing gifts or spiritual gifts that we need to seek God, first of all. Seeking God is probably one of the most important ones. Continuing in prayer and scripture study, as they did in Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer." Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering what your gift is. Maybe you don't feel like you have a gift that was mentioned here this morning, but God has something for you to do. There was a devotional in the Still Waters here recently. Some of you may have come across it, but stood out to me. It mentioned a person that was over in Bulgaria. After they attended a local church there, there was a friend who pointed out several old ladies whose faces were wrinkled and suntanned. The person said, "These ladies were the ones who sat out in the fields and kept watch over the animals. They were called the prayer warriors of the church because all the free time they had and spent it praying for the church, especially for the youth and children." In communist times, the leaders had been known to say, "If it weren't for these old ladies praying, we could win their youth." Are we so fervent in prayer that others could say that about us? We are always in need of prayer warriors. God bless you for those that pray for the church. And maybe you don't, you know, maybe you feel like you're not even a, you know, maybe you might have a busy family and it keeps, especially the women, sometimes you feel like maybe your children keep you so busy, it's hard to, maybe you think it's hard to develop a gift for the church. But I believe that right there is probably one of the most important gifts that you can develop, is taking care of your family and raising the next generation for Christ. D.L. Moody once said, "Every great moment of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Therefore, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." Isaiah 62:6. Again, quote, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Therefore, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." Thinking about prayer. The second one there is serve one another. Serving one another, practical areas of service to each other. Each one should use his or her gift as he has received it to serve and bless one another, to bless the church. 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." As every man hath received, so minister the same one to another. Three is remaining humble. Always remember and recognize that these abilities come from God and glorify Him, thank Him for the gift, and use it to bring glory to Him. James 4:6, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And the last one I have, there is growing in love. Gifts without love are empty formalism. 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 3 says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Without charity, or without love, we could say this morning, it's just an annoying nothing. So you think of a tinkling cymbal, it's just something that's empty, it's hollow. And it says here, I am nothing if I don't have love. So I think love is one of the key elements this morning as we think of growing in these gifts. Serving one another. Studying into the Word of Christ. Studying into God's Word. Remaining humble and growing together in love. Each of us has an important part in the church, and all these work of one and the same Spirit, who apportions them to each as he determines. So we think a little bit about using our gifts. The account we have in Matthew 25, verse 15 through 30, and we're not going to take time to read that this morning. We have three servants there who were given talents, and as the owner left, he gave them these talents and he divided it out. I think one he gave 10 talents, the other he gave 5, and the other 1. And when he came back, the person that had 5 talents, was it 5 talents and 10 talents, I think it was. I have to look and make sure. But he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." But we see the person that only had 1 talent, he went and hid it. He didn't use it. And it says in there that the landlord or the owner told him that he would take it from him, give it to the person that had 10 talents, I believe it was. And why did he do that? It's because that person didn't use it. The person that had the 10 talents, he knew that if he would give it to him and he would use it, that he would double it and bring back. He would make it grow. And I think that's how it is with the talents that God gives us today. God expects us to use it for His glory, to bring more back for Him. And by using God's gifts, I think we are occupying until He comes back. As it says in Luke 19:13, the landlord there called his servants and delivered them these pounds. And then when he came, he said, "Occupy until I come." When he came back, the servants that were taking care of what they were given credit in the end, were blessed there. So are we using God's gifts to occupy until he comes? Are we living in obedience to him? If you are busy doing anything for God, that's good. If you're busy doing your gift or using your gift, that's better. If you are busy using it and developing it, that's even better. Use the gift that God has given you. If you don't use the gift God gave you, God will take it and give it to someone that he can trust will use it. And that's sobering as we think about that this morning. Let's use it to edify the church and build the church up. Like the phrase goes, use them or lose them. This is the law of nature. If you don't use your leg or your arm, or if you don't use a muscle for a long time, it'll shrivel up. If you would just decide you're going to tape your arm to the side of your body, it would eventually be worthless. And it's the same way with a gift. Use it for God's glory, and God can use it. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." When you use your gifts, you are growing, and God will oftentimes give you opportunity to use others. The purpose of these gifts is to promote the good, the common good, the purpose of using these gifts is to promote the common good of the body of Christ. It is to forward Christ's church. Ephesians 4:12-13 says it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of God. In closing, God has a place for all of us in Christ's body, in the church. The message that I would like to leave with us this morning is, let's not think that our gift is small and insignificant. Let's use it. Use what God has given you. God needs you in His kingdom. There's a poem that I'd like to read in closing here. Title is, Be the Best of Whatever You Are. If you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a bush, be a bit of the grass and some highway happier make. If you can't be a muskie, then just be a bass, but be the loveliest bass in the lake. We can't all be captains. We've got to be crew. There's something for all of us here. There's a big work to do and there's lesser to do. And the task you must do is the near. If you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. I think if we remember just to be the best of whatever we have that God has given to us, God can bless it and make that grow into more. May the Lord bless. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Eternal Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you again that you've given us the church, that you've given us the body of Christ, that you've given us gifts that can bless each other, that we can use to bless one another. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember to use these gifts in humility, to remember to use them in love, and remember that as we do this, we are your hands and feet. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us here as a congregation to grow in love and serve one another, to remember that you are coming again for your bride, for your church. We just commit this to your hand, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to open myself to the message. If there's anything that I shared that wasn't scriptural, feel free to